Welcome to another episode of Life Chat with your hosts, Viv and Bill. It is always a pleasure to share life with you, bringing the perspective of others to various situations. So, my dear co-host, Vivian, how are you doing?
I'm good. Definitely, I'm trying to drive in this beautiful weather we have today. Isn't it a gorgeous day?
It is. It's very beautiful. I've only been outside once for maybe about 10 minutes. I've been in the house all day. But I'm looking through the window and it does look nice and sunny. So I'm glad at least somebody's enjoying it.
Yeah, it's 80-something.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
No.
Wow. I didn't realize that at all. As soon as I'm done talking to you, I'm going to be going outside and I'm going to do some walking.
Definitely would be good for you.
And your family's doing well?
Well, my family's doing well, but we just have to pray for my husband's family. His sister, husband, awesome guy, sure. You know, we love family and family prayer. Definitely needed.
We'll pray for Luke, and, you know, these things do happen. Of course, what is life without hiccups? I tell you, that's life. So I'm so sorry to hear about the passing of his brother-in-law, but we will keep him in our prayers. Okay. Do you want to tell our listeners about the show we have coming up?
Definitely. This is going to be three amazing ladies. Today, we're talking about reconciliation in marriages, because God is a God who can able to put things that may be out of order back into order. So we just wanted to highlight this because of the fact that there's so many people are contemplating divorce at this time. So we just wanted to talk about this today. So ladies, welcome to the show. We thank you. We appreciate you being on. Just want you guys to introduce yourself first to the audience and let them know who you are, where you're from, and also how long you've been married.
Well, my name is Linda Udicious, and my husband's name is Rick, and we have been married. It'll be 24 years, October 19th of, we got married in 1996. Boy, that sounds like a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So currently we're living in Pennsylvania, just northeast of Philadelphia.
Okay. Thank you so much. And we're going to ask you, Katrina, you're on mute.
Hello, everyone. My name is Katrina Dorsey, married to Roland Dorsey. We are from Delaware, Fair, Delaware. And we were married in 1997, so this September on the 29th, we'll be married for 23 years.
Yay! Thank you. And Pastor Nancy?
Nancy Carey. I'm married to Apostle Dave Carey. We were married in 1964, so we have been married for 56 years. I know it's a long time. I mean, I realize this is, but it's been mostly good. But every marriage has times, right? But God has been so good to us.
Great, great. Thank you so much.
And we live in Newark, Delaware.
That is awesome. So again, I just want to thank you ladies for coming out to do this program and to be as transparent as possible, which I know will be very helpful to people who will be listening. So, you know, marriage is always looked at, especially those people on the outside, as simple peaches and cream. Every day you get up and it's butterflies and you feel so ooey gooey gooey gooey. What can you say concerning that? Let's start with you, Linda. You look like you're ready to go.
Yeah, ooey gooey. Actually, I never thought marriage was ooey gooey. Before I got married, actually before I gave my life to Jesus, I never wanted to get married because I never saw a happily married couple. And even when I would go to a doctor's visit and they would ask me if I was allergic to anything, my answer would be marriage. Because I never wanted to get married. Then I got saved, and then I had a desire to, you know, be married to a Christian man. So, yeah, that's how I looked at marriage. Wow. As an allergy at first.
Okay. So did it fulfill what others were saying about being peachy all the time?
No, not at all. Marriage is not peachy all the time. Our marriage actually got off to a very rocky start. So it wasn't until probably, I don't know, maybe 15 years later that things started, you know, taking a turn for the better.
Okay, and we will go more into that, but let's find out from you, Katrina. Was it always butterflies every time you looked at him?
No. Marriage was never, like Linda said, you do think that it's going to be the ooey gooey, you know. You're just like the white picket fence, you know, marriage is the ultimate. But when you actually get married and you actually have to do the work of marriage and you go through the roller coasters and the ups and downs and the everyday in and outs of marriage, there's times for ooey gooey, but I'm waiting for those times of ooey gooey to take and have a bigger percentage. But it has its times, its moments. I'm looking forward to many more ooey gooey ones. Days and moments.
Okay. No, I know Pastor Nancy is going to tell me, of course, it's all butterflies, dreamy eyes.
Well, you know, you're putting two different people together. And when you put two different people together, you know, you're going to have some head bonking. You're going to be learning things about each other. We got married young. I was 17 and Dave was 19. And I would say the first 5 months were wonderful, glorious. I had my own place, you know. We had nice things together because we were blessed, although we were not born again. And then things started going rocky, you know. I was still a teenager. So what do you expect? So I more my ways and his ways started to clash. And I would say my growing up and his, but mostly in my opinion, my growing up had a lot to do with what we needed. So we were going to separate after those 5 months of marriage. And then we had this brilliant idea how to save our marriage. And that was, we'll have a child and everything will be great because we'll have this child in common and this will take care of all of our problems. Well, mm-hmm. Ladies, you know as well as I do that everything was lovely for a while, but mm-hmm. children don't take care of your problems. Sometimes, although this was young David now, mm-hmm. and he did not add to our problems, he certainly made a focus on both of our immaturities. Truthfully, we were both still selfish. We were growing into the adults we were supposed to be. And so poor Dave, he had to go through, young Dave, had to go through that with a mom and dad, although we didn't holler and carry on and that kind of stuff. Thank God for that. But we still did not have Jesus. But we made it through all that, and I don't know why except for by the grace of God. There's no other reason. And then we got born again in our early 20s, and believe it or not, that was when young Dave was 5 years old, and he got born again before we did. Mm-hmm. He came home from children's church one day and had this great big beautiful children's Bible, colorful pictures, and he said, I gave my heart to Jesus today. And I remember, I know as a child I knew how to receive Christ, but like you can't imagine the confusion this brought into me, like the realization, I'm going to cry, that you were supposed to be raising your children in the way of the Lord. And this kid beat us to it. Mm-hmm. And so, but he didn't raise mom and dad, but he did help with our steps. And so it wasn't but a couple years later, we both received Christ. And that led into an awesome time in our life. But it doesn't take care of all your troubles if you're still not working together the way you should. So I'm going to stop talking now, and I'm going to let one of the other ladies take over. How about that? And I'll come back and say more about other things later.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
I hear you said, Linda and Katrina, that it wasn't always butterfly and peaches and cream, but you do remember times when it was fantastic and then that time when there was a twist. What would you say that caused that twist or that turning point?
Well, for me, I think it was some expectations that, you know, we might have each had separately on what marriage was going to be. And when those expectations aren't met, it's like you get hit by a bulldozer. It's like, what the heck did I do? Mm-hmm. But, you know, for us, I think because, you know, we are a blended family. When we got married, my daughter Sanaya was 6. Rick had a son from his first marriage. And Brandon was, I think, 11 when we got married, but he was lived with his mom. But Sanaya lived with me. I had full custody of Sanaya. So we were immediately a family of 3 in the household. And, you know, when you have a 6-year-old daughter that it's only, you know, for her, it was, for 6 years, it's just me and mom. And then all of a sudden, here comes this guy that, you know, that put a big wrench in our lives. And there was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of pain. And now I'm going to cry, Pastor Nancy. But, you know, it was a very difficult time for many, many years for us. And because we really had a hard time working through all of our feelings and trying to, you know, it wasn't the Brady Bunch at all. It was the complete opposite. And what we thought was going to be, you know, we were going to have a good Christian family, you know, Christian dad, Christian mom, Christian daughter. It was sad. It really was sad. Our beginning years were very sad. You know, but thank God that things are changed now. We all learned. We're all a little older. And, you know, you learn from your mistakes. Sometimes it takes longer than others. But, you know, we got through it. But it was a struggle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Do you have something to say, Katrina?
Well, as for me, like others, it has been spoken, coming together with, I had 3 children, 2 of my own and 1 I was fostering. And so, you know, coming together and coming to learn and someone else's ways and trying to parent the way that I was used to parenting and trying to figure out how to do it as a complete unit. And, you know, learning one another's expectations, perhaps, or lifestyles and faith walks and all of that kind of like at one time was a lot. It was a lot. And, you know, it clashed a lot. And it took a lot of, you know, a lot of work, you know, to get through. And it was not an easy road. And it was hard on all of us, the kids especially. But thank God, you know, we got through it and the kids are older now. And, you know, there was some damage control. And now we're empty nesters, and believe it or not, we're still trying to figure out. You're always learning something. Now you're trying to figure out how to be empty nesters. Before we had the children, but now we have ourselves, and we're still trying to learn, you know, exactly where, you know, we're trying to get to. That blissful marriage that Pastor Nancy and Linda, you know, discuss right now, you know, I know that for me, I'm still learning. I'm still working at it. Mm-hmm. Because like 7 years ago, I had filed for a divorce. And then by the grace of God, I didn't go through with it. And then 2 years later, I did again and didn't go through with it. So, you know, God is good. And he's trying to, you know, teach and build character and grow us up and do a great work in us. So it's a roller coaster, but it's, you know, hold on for the ride. I'm excited to see what the Lord wants to do and is doing and what we're praying to do. Everything we pray for is not always coming the way we think it should. You know, storms and things like that, and trying to learn one another is part of the answered prayer in disguise.
Great, great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Did you want to comment here, Pastor Nancy, or do you want my next question for you ladies?
Why don't you give us the next question? I'm excited. Is that all right with you ladies? They're fine with you're the boss.
That's okay. That's okay. No, I have picked up on a couple of things that I've heard you ladies say, as well as some that I know of. And these are things that can impact your marriage, blending of families, your expectations, what you came into the marriage with. Learned behaviors, what you saw done in your parents who were married or a friend's marriage, if you were unequally yoked, and sometimes children, having children when you are not ready to have children. All these are things that can really impact your marriage in a way that creates a lot of tension. So were any of these, and it seems like some of these were issues that were in your marriages as well. Does this resonate with anyone? I know you talk about expectations, Linda, but what were your expectations? Was there that the man does this, the woman does this?
Well, you know, I think that both Rick's parents and my parents were probably not the best examples of, you know, the greatest marriage, even though Rick's parents had 11 children. So I guess something was going right there. Yeah. but, you know, we just didn't, I don't think neither of us had really good role models. You know, I mean, I love my parents. They're still married. They've been married for over 60 years. And you know, but it was just, they didn't have that ooey gooey peach cream marriage. You know, I've never known anybody really that's had that from, you know, the beginning to wherever they're at now. There's always going to be, you know, issues and that you have to deal with. But, you know, I think with us having unmet expectations, you know, I can only speak for myself. You know, for myself, it was, I wanted a family. I wanted, you know, a husband that I can lean on and do ministry with, and, you know, have a good Christian father figure for my daughter, or somebody that, you know, would, every woman wants their knight in shining armor. And that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody that was going to protect us, and, you know, and not necessarily, you know, I wasn't the gold digger looking for somebody that would take care of us, because I was definitely willing to work. I've always worked. And, but just to have somebody that, you know, my main thing was, when the first few years of our marriage, like I said, were pretty rocky, and we were living in the Chicago area. That's where we both were born and raised. And the church that we were going to, we went in for some counseling with the pastors, and the pastor, one of the first questions that him and his wife asked us was, why did you want to get married? What were your expectations? And my answer was, I wanted a Christian husband to do ministry with. And my husband's answer was, he wanted companionship. And so we were coming from two very different angles, and neither of them are bad, and you know, both of them are right, but at the same time we weren't seeing eye to eye. And I think now we've come to the place where we're doing both, you know, we have the companionship and we're doing ministry together. So it took, you know, 20 something years for us to get to this place. And you know, I totally understand where Katrina was coming from, because I think I was getting ready to divorce at least 3 or 4 times, you know, had it all planned out. I was, you know, needed to find a job, get a lawyer, get an apartment, and I was done. I was done with it. And I told him the only reason why I never left him was because God didn't say it was okay. I never got the green light from God. So, well, thank God that I hear from God and that I try to be as obedient as possible. And I wasn't feeling that he was okay with it. And he saw the bigger picture. He knew it was going to come down, you know, down the road, even though it took longer than we both would have anticipated or wanted, but God knew. And so those expectations were unmet for a long time, but now we're seeing the fruit of it.
Awesome.
Good.
I can relate with a lot of what Linda's saying. I left my story off saying that young Dave got born again first, then in our early 20s, Dave and I got born again. And we were in a good church. We both loved the word, and we were both students always, the desire to search the word. So we did that together a lot, and that drew us together. Now, we had prayed just between ourselves, no one else knew, that we really wanted another child, and things were going well with us now. And we were doing home groups together. We were doing a lot together. Just seemed like everything we did was together. And we had great friends, you know, that we were there for each other. And then when I was 30, David was 11, young Dave was 11. And so that's a lot of time between children. I was blessed by getting pregnant with Dana and having her. I actually had her when I was 30. And so Dana was a blessing to us, but at the same time, things began to change in our lives. Dave was drawn away by the church to do this, to do that, to run this group, to run the teens, to do this, that, the other. And all of a sudden, I found myself alone. And I believe I had postpartum blues as well. And these things all added up to a great feeling of rejection and loneliness and anger. I just can't even begin to tell you there are many more emotions that were not good that I was dealing with. I had no idea that I had the postpartum blues, or maybe my doctor could have helped me a little there. But nevertheless, I was so upset. I told him that when Dana was 6 months old, I was going to leave him. And so that's the way I planned along. I had been to the pastor and asked for counseling, and all he said was, "And my wife was that way too." You know, that was not counseling, you know. I mean, we were in danger. Why would I even go speak to the man and bear myself to ask him to bring Dave and I in? So anyway, we learned a lot there about, you know, ministering to couples out of what was done wrong there. But, you know, God always has his hand on you and his eye on you, and he knows down the road, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, you learn and you grow by some of the things you go through. I was the most hard-headed woman, born again, but I had it. And I felt like I was just abandoned. And so when time comes up for me to move, that's when all of a sudden the pastor and his wife come over and they're crying and they want to counsel us. And it's like, I am a rock right now. Nothing can penetrate my heart. So, and, you know, Dave, he's saying, I'll do anything, I'll do anything, I'll do anything. It's like too late. So, and young Dave, this is the worst part. Tissue, young Dave would not come with me. We had an apartment in Delaware because I had a job in Delaware. And naturally, I had to take Dana to take care of her. But Dave's mom lived right next door to us, and she was there for young Dave while he was working. So he was never alone. And we spoke every day on the phone, and I had him every weekend. It still was hard. It was hard. Boy. Sorry. So I'm going along like this, and David asked me to come back, you know, every like once a week or so, maybe once every 2 weeks. And I'd say, no, you know, it's just too late. And so one day I was driving to my job, and this is 7 months into the separation. And I really didn't want to reconcile. And I'm a Christian, and I'm going to a church in Delaware, you know, and the pastor would come to the house and visit, you know, that kind of stuff, the apartment rather. And I had a Christian woman who would take care of Dana while I went to work. So here she is. She's 7 months old. We've been separate. Well, let me see. How is she's almost a year old. And we've been separated for 7 months. And so I dropped her off at the sitter on my way to work, and I was driving to work, not thinking about reconciliation, not thinking about a thing, not that it didn't come up now and then in my head, but I didn't want to deal with it because I felt like I was happy. So driving to work one day, I turned the radio on. This is almost like Dave's testimony of getting born again. But I turned the radio on, and there was, I listen to Christian stations, and so someone, some man, pastor, was reading the Bible, and he said out of Isaiah 30, there's going to be a voice behind you that you will hear, and it's going to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have meant anything to anybody else. But when the Holy Spirit says something to you, you know, you do it or you lose. And I mean, I felt like, I know it was the Holy Spirit. So I pulled over to the side of the road, and I was like, Lord, I heard you, but how am I going to do this? What do you want me to do? And I know exactly what he wanted me to do. I turned the car around, never went to work, picked up Dana at the sitter. We went back to our apartment, and I called Dave, and I said, do you still want me to come home? And he said, yes. He was like shocked, right? Yes. And I said, well, I'm going to come home tonight if you're there, but I'm not going to sleep with you. I'm coming home only because I'm obeying God. Mm-hmm. And I can't do any more than that. So I got home at midnight that night. It was a snowy night. I mean, like the devil tried everything to keep me from going home. I mean, the snow was very, very hard to drive in. I was probably a little nutty to do it. But when God said it, he meant it, and I had to do it. Mm-hmm. And so we went through a time where we went to counseling, and then my heart was solving little by little. We were going to church in Delaware together, and he wouldn't do any ministry. He just wanted, like, he felt like he was hearing God, and he was. He needed to pay attention to his family, and I needed him. And so one day in church, I'm going to make this short for your sake, but one day in church, there was a prophetic word from a lady who didn't know me. We'd always sit in the back row, Dave and I. It's like, you know, you don't want any involvement. I didn't want any involvement. Didn't want to explain my life. And so then this lady gave a prophecy for the whole church. It was a prophetic word for the whole church. But the weirdest thing was, at the very end of that prophecy, this is what was tacked on. I always called myself the sister with a broken heart. Bleh. Oh, you poor baby. And so, anyway, she said this, my sister with the broken heart, how can you worship God? Cut me to the quick. Nobody knew she was talking to me, but I knew that was for me from God. And at that point, I'm telling you, I straightened my life out with Dave, and things have been great ever since. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Dana was probably about 2.5 by then. So it took a while. But what God has done for us is just incredible. And I will be eternally grateful. He can take anything. He can take anybody. All we have to do is listen and be willing. And he knows what's in our heart. He knows what it's going to take. He knows the word it's going to take. And that word will get you through. Awesome. That's all I got to say. But I'm telling you, we've had many happy years.
That's good. That's some sound words there, Pastor Nancy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. For,
you know, just being so transparent. And I, both Vivian, my co-host, and myself, we are both, you know, married women. And I know that me, I can identify with some of the things you guys are saying. We've been married, myself, for 38 years. And my first 2 years were the hardest. You know, normally people say that was the easiest, but that was the hardest, getting to know how to live with this man who told me at the beginning, if it don't work, we just get a divorce. And I was like, that's not an option. And I told him that right up front. And then afterwards, when the rough time came, and because I said that, I say, what if I just go visit somebody for 6 months or so? He says, well, don't come back. So between those things, it kind of kept me, because at first I said divorce is not an option. But when it got rough, I wanted to change my mind, but I didn't want to go back on me saying divorce is not an option. I say, what if we just separate for a while? What if I go stay with my, you know, my uncle for about 6 months and just tell people I'm on vacation or something? He says, you can, just don't come back. And of course, I didn't go. And I stood there and we worked it out. And it seems as if that's what you ladies are saying to us. And I do agree with you. You stick to it and you work it out. And not only do you hear the voice of God, but you obey.
Amen.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So one thing that I have heard, and I think all of you have grown children, and you alluded to that, Katrina. Most times when the children leave the home and you're now empty nesters, you look on your spouse and you're like, where did he come from? Because you are so taken up with the children.
Right.
And the children was the come between, and you use them sometimes maybe like a pawn or as an excuse of why you can't be with him or do things with him. You use the children as an excuse, but now they're gone and you have no more excuse. Now, do you find that? You find that you guys are strangers?
Strangers, I wouldn't say strangers, but it's a little strange, you know, it's a little strange. Even now we have to be careful because, you know, we find ourselves, he's into what he's into, and I'm doing what I'm doing. So if he's in his office or if he's in the basement and I'm upstairs or something, we recognize, wait a minute, this is becoming a habit, or we need to really find time to spend quality time with one another because we don't want to grow apart. You know what I mean? So it's like a free time is good, but if you get too much free time, you know, so it's like we're trying to learn the balance and the come together to try to make sure we grow together and not grow apart. So, yeah. So I can understand what you're saying with the strangers. He knows who I am. I know who he is, but we're still trying to learn how to mesh each other's personalities and things like that, where we cohesively are want to be in one another's space. And like Linda said, my thing was I want to do ministry. I want to, you know, I thought that it was the white picket fence. Oh, you get married and because we met in church, you know, we're going to, you know, serve the Lord and do the work of the Lord, and it's going to be peaches and cream. But that wasn't the case. And I'm looking for the word, because I guess there was a certain kind of he wasn't seeking out, or if you will, or the Lord and the word, like I thought that we were going to, then there was a lot of division that took place. So we're just I'm trying to find out what this picture is with the Lord wants in our marriage. Like, what are we doing? Where are we going? We got to get this whole thing together. So it's not just personally, who are you? You're a stranger. It's what are we doing? Where are we going? What does the Lord want? And both of us have to be on that path, I believe. So I'm trying to pull him on that path with me and not just go on the path with him and get distracted. So it's a lot.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like but how are you maintaining that balance, Katrina? How are you said it's a lot and trying to get to that destination of you doing ministry together. How do you maintain that balance?
We're just getting to a place where we're comfortably able to come together and pray together. I thank God that, you know, like I said, with storms and things like that, it, you know, it looks like a disaster, but, you know, feathers have to be ruffled and differences have to clash. And I thank God that, you know, Romans, I'm thinking, says that, you know, what the devil meant for bad, Romans 8, what the devil meant for bad, God turns around and uses it for our good. So I thank God for the opportunities to come together at those times. They're different. Shortly after those times that feathers have been ruffled, or that, you know, we're just trying to create a habit of coming together and praying together in the mornings, different times, or when there has been, you know, a difference that we recognize that we always need the Lord. We know that, but trying to learn to come together more consistently and pray is how I'm trying to do that. And looking forward towards studying together. Sometimes our understanding and our learning, you know, is a lot different. So it's been hindered a little bit. So we back off of trying to study together or anything like that. But I'm, you know, trying to gradually do it.
Same question for you, Linda. How did you move from where you were, where you guys were basically at the point where you said that you were about to leave, file a divorce? How did you get from where you were to where you are now? What was the things that you put in place to get you where you are now? What did you implement in your life? What was the deciding factor? I know Pastor Nance mentioned how God spoke to her specifically that she needed to go home, and she put those things in place. What did God say to you, or what things did you put in place to have the impact that you're having now?
Well, actually, I kind of have a little bit of a similarity with Pastor Nancy's story. You know, although I didn't leave the house and get my own place, I moved into the guest room. And I think I stayed in the guest room for almost a year. And I'll tell you what, Rick has a lot of patience, because I know most men would not have had that at all. I'll tell you what, he's got a lot of patience. And yeah, my heart was rock hard too. And And then one night, I'm in the guest room, and the Lord told me, I want you to go back in your room, in the bed with your husband, and go back in your room. And I'm telling you, I did not want to do it. I did not want to. But I had to obey. I knew it was the Lord. You know why I knew it was the Lord? It wasn't the flesh, because I knew my flesh did not want to go. And it wasn't the devil, because the devil didn't want us to reconcile. So it had to have been God. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go. So I went in, and he kind of looked at me, and I was like, I'm only doing this because God told me to. Don't touch me.
Me too.
And, you know, but what really changed for us was when our children were smaller. So when we got married, Sanaya was 6. When Sanaya was 8, we had Aaron. So there was that 8-year difference between, you know, Sanaya and Aaron. And I don't know how long it was after, but, you know, when they were small, we didn't have any family nearby us. And that they were able to help us with, like, watching the kids if we wanted to get away. So anytime that we took any vacations, it was all of us, the whole family, which is great. I mean, we had some great family vacations and everything. But it was when we finally found somebody that I trusted that would, you know, I mean, Rick would find anybody to take the kids for a few days so we can get away. But I'd be like, no, I don't know them well enough. You can't just leave your kids with anybody. And I had to find somebody that I truly, truly trusted with, you know, with my kids. And we went away for a few days and we had the best time. And I mean, it was like another honeymoon. And then the more that when the kids got older, we would plan vacations, you know, and we just would have the best time. And we get along better when we're on vacation away from the kids and out of the house than, you know, than when we're at home. We just get along much better. I think it's just because of the two of us, and, you know, we're in a new environment, and, you know, we both are very adventurous. We like to, you know, eat good food, and we're in a Caribbean type of place, a tropical place. We both love to snorkel and go to the beach, and, you know, so that was our happy time. And so we try to do that as much as possible. We try, now that the kids are older, even though our kids are grown, they still live at home. So Sanaya is 30 now, but she's, you know, just recently still getting over a lot of, you know, physical issues. And Aaron is in college. Well, we had a trip planned to go to the Bahamas in March, and then COVID hit. So, and then, you know, Rick's been working at home. And at first, when he started working from home, I was like, oh my goodness, what is this going to be like? You know, he's going to be home all the time. And, you know, it took me a few days to get used to it, but now I like having them at home. So we had a good summer. It was nice and hot. And we, you know, enjoy going, you know, we have a pool, so we go swimming, and, you know, and just enjoying each other's company. And so we had to reschedule our trip. So we're going to the Bahamas in November, hopefully, you know, mid-November, everything will be fine for us to go. Otherwise, we'll have to cancel and reschedule again. But even, you know, during COVID, we tried to get away for a few days. We went to Kentucky to go see the Ark Encounter, and which was fabulous. If you haven't gone seen the Ark Encounter, oh my gosh, it was amazing. And just, you know, every chance we can get, even if it's just for, you know, a long weekend or just a night out or something, just to get away, just the two of us. And that is a marriage saver for us.
Great. Thanks for sharing. Now, it's coming almost to the end of our time, but I want to ask you ladies each to speak on this topic. How would you advise a couple who may be going through some struggles right now in their marriage, or who may be contemplating divorce? What would you say to them? Let me start with you, Katrina. Then Linda, then Pastor Nancy.
Well, I would say, God is necessary. It is necessary to have God as the, as our guide, as our compass, as our Holy Spirit, as our instructor. We first foremost need to be, in a place, a position, or get in a position where we actually are crying out to the Lord and asking Him for help. As His children, He is faithful and He'll help us. And praying for ourselves and praying for our spouses, and positioning ourselves, really to hear from God and to just obey, really to obey the Lord. I heard you say that a couple of people, Linda and Pastor Nancy said that the Lord spoke to them. I necessarily didn't have that. And sometimes I question, sometimes we can get in our own way. I thank God that the Lord told, them to stay. And I thank God that I stayed. I believe it was the Lord that told me that, but I didn't specifically hear instructions. So sometimes I say, did I stay and get in the way? Maybe the Lord would have shook him and woke him up, or, did I hinder the process? But it's really important just to hear from God for yourself and to obey. And above all else, honor your vows and just do all that you know how to do, to love, to constantly try to decrease, to crucify your flesh daily. And, I know it takes two, but if you try yourself to do work on you and wait on the Lord, then, it won't all be peaches and cream and it will be painful, but we got to believe that God is faithful and He will. I thank God that He does speak. And in the midst of stuff that we still go through, and we will go through stuff, we just went through something last week. And thank God that, I had me pray. And I called on Him. I said, God, this is for you. Here you go. I give it to you. I don't know what to do. You always do. Lead God and direct. And God is faithful. So, the next morning, I asked my husband, can I speak to you? And I was allowed to share with him, what I was trying to convey to him at that time, peacefully. And then, as the Lord would have it, the Lord had him read a scripture that morning and confirmed exactly, the same thing that the Lord had given me. And peace was able to be, we were able to reconcile it peacefully in that moment. So God is faithful. Just continue to seek Him, continue to lay at His feet and give Him your cares and your situations. And He's there with you. He's there to help you. He loves you. He wants this more than we want it. As a testimony and as a, to give Him glory and to, bring Him glory. So just be encouraged and just stay before the Lord and trust Him, obey Him, and just be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. My advice would be, I like what Katrina said about crying out to the Lord. It is okay to cry to the Lord. I mean, if there's anybody that you can cry to unashamedly, is to the Lord. And you just have to cry your heart out to Him. And then listen. And it's not like, Lord, we always hear people, don't pray to, that God would change your partner, but, because He wants to change us, and so you have to listen to what is the Lord going to do in me. Lord, do something in me, change my heart, change the way I respond. Because I'll tell you what, sometimes I can respond very harshly, and I just tell it like it is, and that's just the way I've always been. And sometimes I need to tone that down. And I'm learning. And another piece of advice is to listen to one another. Really listen, understand their heart. I love the verse about, how iron sharpens iron. And I use that a lot with my husband, because, that's a typical verse that they use for men's ministry, that men sharpen, each other. Well, you know what? We're married and I'm as much iron in the Lord as you are. Yeah. And we need to sharpen one another. And, cause when Rick and I got married, Rick was like, you know, 12 years old in the Lord, and I was 2 years old in the Lord. So I was just like this little toddler, and, you know, in the spirit realm. And he knew a lot more than I did. And I think he kind of, you know, looked at me maybe like that sometimes. And now I think he's looking at me more as, this is my equal. This is my helpmate. This is the spouse that God gave me. This is the other part of the iron that's, you know, we're going to sharpen one another. And so I think just coming to that understanding that we're in this together. We're in this together. If one hurts, the other's hurting. And that's a fact. Mm-hmm. So we need to listen to one another. We need to be honest with one another. We need to respect one another. Those are my key things, is respect and honor. You know, I know as women, the Bible says we're to, you know, respect and honor our husbands. It says that we're to do that for one another, you know, so it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, you want me to talk now?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see how much time we have. We're running over. You know, when I had small group earlier this week, we're talking about women and what Paul was really saying when he said things and in his epistles and, you know, getting down to the Greek and all that. But one of the things that is there, not only do we all have to grow up and hear the Lord and let him grow us and be in that relationship, because Christ is our head. You know that. Mm-hmm. Christ is your head, your head, your head, your head, and your head. And so, but it doesn't take the submission part out of it. And this is not going to get ugly, ladies, because the Bible says submit to one another in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when a couple who is born again can learn to do that, and it would be tougher to counsel somebody who's not born again, but when a couple is born again and can learn to submit to one another in the Lord, God's going to be there, and he's going to make it fine, all right. And I cannot tell you, we have been so blessed in God just by obeying and coming back together and letting it work out, letting him be Lord. And then all of a sudden we're working together in the ministry. And, you know, everything we ever did was always together until I retired, which was in 2011. And we still did some things together. In the house, we do everything together, cook and all that, you know. So it's just a matter of learning how to submit to each other, to hear the Lord, to be in that relationship with the Lord. Because if you're in that relationship with the Lord, he's going to lead you. He's going to direct your steps. You're going to know right from wrong. And he is, above all, the lover of our souls. He loves our marriage. He created marriage. And his best for us, his highest and his best, is Jesus Christ being our head and the lover of our marriages, our spouses and kids and us. So thanks for having me tonight, guys.
Awesome.
You are welcome. Thank you. Definitely.
We really so appreciate you guys sharing your stories and the things that God has revealed to you. And I really love what Pastor Nancy was saying about, you know, coming together, doing things together. And I find out with my own marriage that the things that we do together that become a thing where if something happens, I have to run and tell him. I'm like, oh, you know, like, oh, I have to tell Luke this or something like that. Because, you know, when you spend so much time together, you build that bond, you build that intimacy. And so I'm so excited with the things that God has done in your life, Katrina and Linda, because you know, people have gone through so many things right now, and to see that God can, from 15 years of marriage, just say it took you 15 years and you still stuck with it, and you continue, and you continue in his word and continue trusting in God, and that God can able to restore, God can reconcile anyone, anytime, because 15 years, and you know, you guys were just sitting there saying, you know, woe is me. You said you had a job, you had a plan, you got an apartment, but yet still you surrender all of that and submit to God and his word. So we just really appreciate you ladies coming on and sharing your story and you know, turning the situation around. They're saying that it's about 50-50 now, and because of Corona, they're saying that marriage is tipping to about 60-65%. So God forbid, and we shut that down right now. And Father God, I'm just going to say a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father God, for all that you've done in our lives and in marriages. You say you have created marriage, oh God, and we thank you that men and a woman will leave their father and mother and cleave to each other, oh God. Help them to understand that you are the center of their lives, and it's not about the wife or the man, but it's about the kingdom of God. So we come against that spirit of divorce right now, and we loosen love, we loosen peace, we loosen joy. Father God, we just thank you for right counsel right now. Send the right individuals to help them. Unlike Pastor Nancy didn't have that counsel, but Lord, you send that counsel to those individuals that need it right now in this season. Help them to hear you clearly and help them to hear you accurately, oh God, on what to do, where to go, and how to do it. And we just thank you right now that you are the author and the finisher of our marriages and of our lives. And Lord, as we submit to you and submit to each other, like Pastor Nancy said, that it's a submission to each other. It's not one being over another, but submitting ourselves to each other and submitting ourselves to you, Father. So we just thank you for being a reconciliating God. We thank you for being a God that can bring things from turmoil into peace and into unity. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory, oh God, for what you're about to do, that you're going to turn marriages back to you, turn the wife's heart back to you, turn the husband's heart back to you. And as Linda said, iron sharpens iron. So let us sharpen each other. Let us cause each other to press forward and to press towards the mark of the high calling and press towards the mark of the things that you have for us to do in our marriages. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor right now in the mighty precious name of Jesus. And we thank you right now. This is another episode of Life Chat with Vivinville. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.